Welcome to TMZ Live. Harvey Levin here.
Charles here.
So Diddy has gone on the offensive. He is using, I would call, his chief lieutenant, Stevie J, who we've had on this show this week, to put out a narrative that everybody is talking about parties that Diddy has had, and they're talking about sex parties, allegations of trafficking. Well, he wanted to show something different.
Right. As Stevie J put it when he posted this video about the show, he said, this is what really goes on at a Diddy party. And it's a highlight reel from Diddy's 50th birthday party back in December of 2019. And it is impressive, to say the least, with the guest list.
It's pretty much everybody in Hollywood, in sports,
Music. Yeah, it's...
We can just go through some of the names. Kobe, yeah. Post Malone, MGK, Kim Kardashian.
Dr. Dre, Jay-Z, The Weeknd.
Mary J.
Kevin
Blige.
Hart, as you can see. Yep.
So it is just star-studded. And it is fancy. And I think that's what they are trying to do.
Right. Because that it was a black tie event.
It's a black tie event, and they're trying...
Classy.
They're trying to change the
Diddy's
imagery.
Diddy's been one of the most premier hip-hop moguls, probably the premier hip-hop moguls since, you know, hip-hop has boomed. And, you know, I think it cut through a lot of the noise, you know, reminded people that, you know, he has some of the biggest celebrity friends in the biz, and, you know, he will throw big, giant parties.
I think the point of this is that, you know, the imagery that people have painted, that Cassie has painted, that Rodney Jones has painted, people who have sued him and others, and now with federal investigators on the case, the imagery is this kind
salacious.
Of tawdry, salacious, you know, underground kind of sex parties, and that's what everybody's talking about. And I got to tell you, it's not a bad PR strategy. It's not going to work with federal investigators.
Right, it's not going to work with them. But PR-wise, it's sort of reminding you, like, don't get caught up in all those things you're reading in the lawsuits. Remember, this was the guy that you've seen for the last 20-something years partying.
So here,
and these are the kind of events.
So I want to ask you something, because I didn't have a chance to ask you this morning. Do you think he's also trying to get those people who showed up at those parties to support him and, you know, kind of subtly saying, hey,
you were there.
You were there. I was there for you. Be there for me.
Yes, I do think, and if not Diddy, I do think that Stevie J feels that way. And to be honest, you know, we had Stevie on a couple of days ago. He's really the only close friend of Diddy's who's spoken out publicly in defending him and standing by him and saying that he's not buying any of these allegations. So
there's been a few other people that have come out and spoken up for Diddy. However, like you said, they're not like his close friends, his buddies, all the people that were at his parties. I think there's no other way to take this, and he's saying, like, y'all need to come out and speak up, say something, whether it's good. No, it needs to be good, because he was always, you guys were always around. When I was on a high, you guys were there, and now I'm on a low. I need you guys to speak up. There are certain celebrities I am actually shocked that haven't come out in his support, because they were so close, and every time you saw Diddy, you saw them. So it's just a little shocking to hear their silence now.
Well, you know, without mentioning names, Tawanda, I will say that this is a town where people run for the hills when anything like this happens. And I'm not saying it's good or bad. I'm just saying the reality is that people
those people, to be fair to all those people who are at these events with Diddy, they can be, look, and this is what the feds think, it is certainly possible that both are
happen.
True.
Yeah.
Right. That all these people were at this party and these types of parties with Diddy, and they had a great time, and they never saw anything that made them suspicious, but other things could have been happening.
And in Hollywood, you always have the after party. You always have the after hours. You have the main event, and then the real party actually doesn't even start until the after party.
I don't think that's the case. I don't think anybody is saying that the people at his 50th birthday party then had an after party where they did things that were alleged in this. I think that there are two different worlds here. That you have that world,
has his
and you have that world.
Celeb-packed events, and then he could allegedly. Believe the allegations, be having these much smaller
parties. The end of the day, it's going to cut through the social media conversation. There's a lot of Diddy jokes being made, and, you know, Stevie J is saying, you know, if you're going to make a joke, you know, say it to everybody's face.
So Cassie is really the one who launched all of this, his ex. And remember, Diddy kind of called her bluff, didn't think she'd sue. She did. The next day, He settled for millions of dollars. She made all of the allegations about rape, about human trafficking and all. She has talked to federal investigators, we found out.
Yeah, that Cassie spoke to them about, I would imagine, we don't know exactly what she said, but
clearly
we know what
she
said in the lawsuit.
Yeah.
And that she did speak to prosecutors who are working on this from the Southern District of New York.
I think it's really important to say that our information is that she spoke to them several weeks ago. That's important because, remember, the federal raid didn't happen until last week. So if you connect the dots, I think it's pretty reasonable to conclude
that the things she said had something to do with the search warrant.
Yeah, she can't speak publicly. I'm sure there is an NDA, but in terms of federal investigators, it's a whole different story. And my guess is that they went to her because they knew about the lawsuit. They interviewed her. She may have given a sworn declaration, but this is the way prosecutors get a search warrant to prove probable cause, which means that there is a reasonable suspicion that, in this case, Diddy actually did commit the alleged crimes that Cassie mentioned in her complaint. So my guess is she was central in the feds getting the search warrant.
And there may be others as well.
There probably are.
You know, as we said, she's the one who set this whole thing off. That she would be tops on the list of people that prosecutors wanted to talk to.
Right.
Hi, this is Monet, the lady broadcaster Anderson from Woodbridge, Virginia. And speaking on the Stevie J video that he's put out about Diddy, I'm not really a fan of it. I feel like we have the feds involved in this now, and the feds are looking for anything that they can as evidence. So not that any of those celebs from the sports, music, entertainment world were involved, but they may know something. So now the feds have these videos where they can go down and say, hey, A to Z, this is who was there and this is who we need to go after. This is what these people are trying to stay away from. That's why they haven't spoken up on Diddy's behalf. Stevie J has, but then again, I'm a little skeptical with Stevie J because what I want Stevie J, who's been on reality TV as a womanizer, representing me in this sex case. I mean, Diddy needs to rethink what he's doing, and I think stick with his kids, his lovely daughter, his sons who have been tainted by a raid where they were in handcuffs. I think he needs to go a different route than trying to show who I hung around.
There are a lot of people involved in this, and you and I both know this. There are a lot of cooks in the kitchen on how this whole
thing may not be necessarily full agreement on strategies.
On anything.
Right.
Okay, we're going to move on.
Yes, to Tiger Woods preparing for the Masters tournament, where he will be playing. And I think most people think it is a long shot for him to
win. I'm about to laugh. Excuse me. Sorry.
You just could not hold it back.
I'm sorry. This is just a great story.
But what we have found out is part of his preparation for the Masters includes no sex. Which, obviously, when you're talking about Tiger Woods and you say that he's not having sex, people do what Harvey did, which is a little bit.
Look, the reason I'm doing it is that when this whole thing happened, 10 years ago?
More than that now, isn't it?
God, is it
15
more than that?
Oh, my God.
Almost but 15. When it happened, having sex was the magic wand, so to speak.
long shot, but like every single word you're saying, I am too immature for this. He's been known to love sex in the past. Tiger has,
but it helped his game
when he was at the height of his game.
Yeah. When he was at his peak, Charles.
Yeah. Yes.
You mean? Yeah. So one of his buddies, and I don't know if Tiger likes this being shared or not, but one of his buddies has revealed that in preparation for next week's Masters, it's the biggest golf tournament in the entire world. Tiger is abstaining. It's the old Rocky thing, like Sly Stallone and Mickey, women weaken legs. And I don't know if it's ever been proven or not, but he's not having sex before the tournament.
By the way, we should say the New York Post got this story.
Yes.
And it's hysterical. Now, I mean, I don't know if he has any original parts left because of the car accident and all the other things that, he's in. It's amazing he's standing and playing.
Yes, they've definitely taped him back together and he's out there. But to me, look, if Tiger Woods is on the golf course, he's got a chance. He's definitely got a
chance.
That's fair. It would mean, I know what you're saying. I know you're saying that like the some other much younger players would have to have horrible games, but that happens.
My thing, Charles, I think he's good enough if it was like one round. I don't know that his body can hold up for like 5 days straight. I hope it does because golf is never better than when Tiger's at the top of a leaderboard.
Hey, this is Dennis Consorte from Bayside, Queens. Tiger Woods was lauded as the best golfer in the world, but he let that get to his head. He ended his marriage. He had a car crash. But he recognized his problem and he got help. And now he's getting ready. He's taking a little break from his love life to focus all of that energy into doing the best that he can at the Masters. And when he's done, he can reward himself, hopefully in moderation, until the next round.
You sound like you're filling a prescription.
Michael Jackson's most high-profile accusers, Wade Robeson and James Safechuck, have made a request for documents from the LAPD, from the LA County Sheriff's Department, because they are pressing forward their case against Michael Jackson Productions, Michael's production company. And one of the things that they want within these documents include photos from Michael Jackson's trial, photos that were evidence in Michael Jackson's trial, and those photos include some very photos of Michael's genitalia. Well, Michael Jackson's production company has now filed their own documents trying to block that, and they have some very specific reasons why they feel like this is an unnecessary... They're not saying stop the case altogether, although they did try to do that previously. They're just saying that to reveal these documents is going too far.
Yeah, look, they're saying this would be an egregious invasion of privacy. He still has, obviously, Michael Jackson still has lots of living relatives. He has children. This will expose them to possibly embarrassment in the public and so forth. And this is just unnecessary for James Safechuck and Wade Robeson to pursue their lawsuit. I think on the other side, Wade and James are going to say, look, if we can match that genitalia and we know what his genitalia looks like, and then there's a picture of it, it'll help bolster our case that he actually exposed himself to us in the past.
I have a lot of information about this. When I was a reporter at KCBS in Los Angeles, during one of the trials with Michael Jackson, one of the lawsuits where they alleged child molestation, I got a tip that Michael Jackson and his dermatologist, Arnie Klein, who we've had on the show,
yes,
he's since passed away, Arnie, that they went down to Mexico and that Michael Jackson had vitiligo, and that there were blotches on the genitalia area that were very distinctive, and the accuser in that case had identified what he said it looked like, and there was some talk that Arnie Klein may have gone down to bleach that area and change it. And the police ended up doing a search. They got a search warrant with Arnie Klein's office to see if they could track that down. But this has been something that's been swirling for a long time. And although I don't know specifically about Safechuck and Robeson, I'm pretty confident that what they're looking for is the exact same thing.
Right.
That they would give a description that could match what those pictures show. Because remember when Michael Jackson famously did that video, he talked about the fact that they took those pictures.
Right.
And so I think that's what this whole thing is about.
Hey guys, it's Malik Devante calling out of Washington, D.C. And I just feel like it's really just disturbing to hear this. Michael's been gone for about 15 years now. And it's like this man couldn't have peace on earth. And to the fact that it's after death, he still have to get fought for things that happened over 30 years ago. I stand with MJ Productions behind him, just blocking it out. Because this is very strange and odd and weird. It's just like, what are you really looking for trying to prove?
And I hear what you're saying, and I think a lot of Michael Jackson's supporters and fans feel that way. However, if you're Wade Robeson and James Safechuck, and they feel that they were molested and that there was wrong done to them, you understand why they are pressing forward.
And if they could give a distinct narrative of the description of what they saw, and it matches the pictures, it does become probative evidence.
Correct.
So there you go. Okay, we're going to move on.
Yes, to Joe Rogan's attack against The View. And it comes because of the guest that he had on his show, Coleman Hughes, the podcaster who had been on The View earlier this week. And when he went on The View, he was talking about he just had a book that came out, which is really about identity politics and why he feels that that is just the wrong way, and that, as he puts it, the end of race politics. So he got into a very testy exchange with Sonny Hostin. So here is that, because you have to understand this part of it, and then you're going to hear Coleman on Joe's show and Joe's review of what happened to Coleman. But here was his moment on The View.
What Martin Luther King wrote in his book, Why We Can't Wait, mm-hmm. is he called it, we need a Bill of Rights for the disadvantaged. Mm-hmm. And he said, yes, we should address racial inequality. Yes, right. We should address the legacy of slavery. But the way to do that is on the basis of class.
Your argument for colorblindness, I think, is something that the right has co-opted. And so many in the black community, if I'm being honest with you, because I want to be, believe that you are being used as a pawn by the right and that you're a charlatan of sorts.
There's no evidence that I've been co-opted by anyone. I have an independent podcast. Mm-hmm. I work for CNN as an analyst. Mm-hmm. I write for the Free Press. I'm independent in all of these endeavors, and no one is paying me to say what I'm saying. I'm saying it because I feel it.
Can I just say something? To call him a charlatan because he has that view, and to say that he's a pawn of the right, mm-hmm. this is a legitimate debate to have. And it's just such a personal attack that somebody has a view, so you must be co-opted by the right, and you're a charlatan.
I hear what you're saying, but Sonny's point was that is something that is said.
Which is probably, which is true.
Right.
But that doesn't mean you're a pawn because of it.
Right, and my point is that Sonny was just saying to him, look, this is what some people
which is fair, but then you call him a charlatan, and you're really digging in. That's what I'm saying.
But again, that didn't come from Sonny, and maybe she agrees with it, but her point was, people say that, what do you respond to it?
That's fair.
Right. Anyway, Joe Rogan had Coleman on and asked him about that moment, how it has sat with him since he was on The View. And I think Joe was just looking for an excuse to give his review of The View.
I saw you on The View.
Yeah. I just went in there, did my thing. I had no idea what to expect. I didn't know who Sonny Hostin was. I actually still really don't know. So I wasn't expecting necessarily for her to kind of try to ambush me in that way and attack my character in that way.
Well, it is the show that people love to hate.
Yes, that's true. That's true.
They get so much hate watching and hate watching viral clips of them saying ridiculous things. I mean, it is a rabies infested hen house.
Cheap shot at the View, obviously, no surprise there. Kind of getting back to your guys' point about whether Sonny was actually taking a personal shot, I kind of agree with Harvey. I think she was using under the guise of like, well, what do you say to people, to critics who might say this, and then says something very mean and frankly like rude. It's a veiled attempt to kind of shield a personal shot. So I agree with Harvey. She was taking a personal shot because I suspect she thinks he's a charlatan and she thinks he's a sellout and that he's anti-black or whatever. That's kind of what she was getting at. But if you actually listen to his argument, if you watch that full interview, he held his own, he made his points, and he basically said, because she was trying to bring up points that MLK made, but then he brought those same points back and said, actually, the same thing you're citing, if you continue reading on in the same passages, he actually backs my argument. So in the end, I think Sonny ended up looking bad, and I don't know, I think this guy might have a point.
Hi, this is Heidi from Las Vegas. I don't really take anything that Joe Rogan says at this point seriously. I mean, he kind of reminds me of that old little grandma meme with the walker. Like, sure, grandma, let's get you to bed. Every time he says something, that's what I imagine in my mind. And also, I'm very curious to think about what, if he calls them the hen house, what does he think about the people that watch his podcast? Or what would he call his podcast, you know?
Something with rooster.
Something with rooster associated. Over the years, we've seen a lot of acts say that this is our final tour, right? We're done, this is it. And then they come back a few years later. I really believe that Kiss really is done touring now. I believe them because they have now sort of sealed the deal, showing that they are stepping back with this $300 million deal to sell their catalog and also their likeness.
Which is really interesting.
And the likeness part is interesting because they're still going to be touring. You may have heard about this, that Kiss has made a deal where they're still going to be touring, but it's going to be holograms. Kiss holograms that'll be doing the touring.
Now, that's the kind of mailbox money I want.
Yeah, well, well, that's the company that they made the catalog deal with for $300 million. So we've seen a lot of acts do this. Why are they doing it? What really is behind it? What's the dollars and cents in making these huge catalog deals? Joining us right now is the man who is the beneficiary of one of these deals, Gene Simmons, lead singer, bassist, and co-founder of KISS. And he is joining us
once
again.
And an awesome guy, by the way.
Indeed. Gene, welcome back to TMZ Live.
Nice. Thank you for having me. But just a few corrections. Mm-hmm. The $300 million that's been reported in the media and everything, I just want to say it's not quite right.
We're
going north.
We're going north.
We're going north. The other thing, and this is not what the program's about self-aggrandizement and all that. But Pop House, I have to say, are the most exciting visionaries, creative young people we've met in the tech industry. I mean, look, AI is here to stay. Technology is here to stay. And you either join in and try to adapt and try to figure out how that works with you, or you're just yesterday's news. In a very real way, truthfully, KISS has stopped touring. We will never tour as KISS again. However, the end is also the beginning. We're going to do things that will blow your socks off. But we couldn't do this without our new Best Friends for Life Pop House. They're really remarkable people.
So I am fascinated by the concept of a concert that is basically where the stars are holograms and AI driven. Will fans embrace that the way they would embrace flesh and blood?
Well, concerts is too simple a term, in the same way that going to a 3D IMAX experience is too simply put if you say a 3D movie is too small of an idea. Like when you put on those virtual glasses and all of a sudden you don't even know if you're in this world or another dimension. So that's really what's going to be happening. They're going to show up on stage just like they did before, but it's holograms. No, that's an archaic term. Technology has advanced so far you won't believe it. We spent some time at George Lucas's place, and I went to one of George's weddings up there. But anyway, that's another story. So we spent some time at George's place up in San Francisco, ILM, and did motion capture and stuff secretly. We didn't talk to anybody, media, or anything about it because we wanted this to be like nothing anybody's ever seen. And I will tell you, if you've seen the ABBA show in London, which is phenomenal, this is going to be beyond anything you've ever seen. So the future is here. And with our friends at Pop House, who are visionaries, we're going to be doing things that no band and no musical, nobody's ever done before.
So as far as the part of selling your catalog, Gene, your catalog goes back 50 years. In fact, I don't know if I've told you this in any of the times we spoke to you. One of my first Christmas gifts I remember getting from my parents was the KISS Alive 2 album. And it had my membership to the KISS Army included with it. So thank you. I think I'm still a member. I don't remember if I paid. I don't know if I paid dues, but the catalog goes back so deep, and we've seen other artists doing this. What is the reason? Why does it make financial sense for artists like yourselves, Bruce Springsteen, even younger artists like Justin Bieber and Justin Timberlake we've seen do it? Why are you selling off your catalog now instead of holding on to that?
If you care about the fans, you want new generations of fans, you know, to behold this thing, but in ways that has never existed before. So with Pop House, again, I keep stressing this, it sounds like I'm trying to sell something. Too late. This is gonna
It's already sold.
But by the way, this is not a sale where we step back and twiddle our thumbs in Beverly Hills. Nope. We are in the trenches with Pop House. They're our best new friends, and we're collaborators. Now, by the way, Springsteen's amazing and Bieber's terrific and everybody's terrific, but respectfully, that's just music. It is possible to shut your eyes. It is possible to shut your eyes and really just enjoy the music. That's not what we're about. We're always been audio visual. You may like a few of our tunes, but your eyes are always wide open because you don't want to miss anything. So we are in that ball game, and I can't think of another act, respectfully, with, you know, everybody else. They need the accoutrement, all the stuff in the background with the big screens and everything, to make it visually interesting.
One of the things that I love about you is that you don't just kind of sit back and say, well, I'm going to keep doing the same thing I've always done. And I just think it's so interesting that you're on the cutting edge so many decades after you started. And not a lot of people do that, Gene. So
things are going to be so much larger than life in front of you, you won't believe it. We've already seen the first fragments of that. It's just jaw-droppingly amazing.
It's going to be awesome. I'm in. Any timeline on when the first show may roll out?
Yes.
Any timeline you want to share?
No.
All right, there we go.
You got it.
Well, listen, as long as my Kiss Army membership gets me in, I'll be there, definitely. Gene, thank you so much. Congratulations to you guys.
Yeah, congrats.
I wish you well.
And you too, Gene.
All right.
He is a great guy. He is a great guy.
Yeah.
Okay, we are taking a break.
All right, when we come back, Dave Chappelle called out by one of his own, a fellow comedian who is describing Chappelle as an egomaniac. Who would dare to do this in comedy? You will find out when we come back. Welcome back to TMZ Live, and old beef is about to become new beef, I think, between
Fresh beef.
Yes, between Dave Chappelle and Jerrod Carmichael. And this goes back, about 2 years now. Jerrod Carmichael actually just did a new interview with Esquire and was asked about, back in 2022, he was asked about Dave Chappelle's The Closer. That was the Netflix special where
he made a bunch of trans jokes.
The transgender.
And some people were critical of it.
Yes, and there was, you know, all the blowback that happened from that. Well, back in 2022, Jerrod was asked about it, and he offered in an interview, said that I think Dave is better than that, and sort of offered soft criticism,
well,
saying
he said that this is not Dave's world, it's not his knowledge base, and he
right.
should stay out of it.
He should just stay out of it. Well, in this new interview with Esquire, what Jerrod is revealing is that Dave was apparently really ticked off that he had made those comments and had reached out to him and basically said, where's my apology? So as Jerrod puts it now, he says he, meaning Dave, took it as blank Dave Chappelle because he's an egomaniac. He wanted me to apologize to him publicly or some blank.
He didn't. No
apology. And he didn't. And the apology
did not
didn't
apologize.
Come.
Yeah.
And so I gather that today the two of them are not friends.
I mean, listen.
Safe
if,
bet.
If what Jerrod's saying is true, isn't that very hypocritical by Dave Chappelle? Dave Chappelle makes these trans jokes in the name of free speech. So if Jerrod wants to combat Dave's free speech with his, then why would Dave Chappelle go after him saying, hey, you need to apologize for this? That just seems counter to what he believes in.
It seems counter, but it's also, it's odd to me.
It's that, in line with what Dave has said in the past, by the way. I'll explain.
But wait a minute, is it? I mean, what is he apologizing? Because what Carmichael is saying is, I don't like the jokes, you're better than that. How do you apologize? No, I'm sorry, I said you're better than that. It doesn't feel, and maybe it happened.
Yeah.
It just seems like an odd thing to say.
Oh, I think it happened. I don't think Jerrod made that up.
I'm just wondering, are those the only words that Dave heard? Because the words that we just talked about,
right.
It's weird to say I want a public apology for those words.
Yeah, I have to go back and read the
full. You know what I mean?
I'd read the full comments of what Jerrod had said back in 2022. But the reason I say it's in line with what things that Dave has said in the past, he really doesn't like it when other comedians are critical of other comedians. He feels like, I've never heard him say this, but I'm basing this on everything he said in interviews, he just feels like comedians should be supportive of other comedians. And even, remember when Cat Williams did his thing with Shannon Sharp? Dave came out and said, why is Cat trying to tear down all these guys?
He went nuclear on those
people. He did.
But what about all the comedians who talk about, well, that person's not funny? That's criticism. So they do criticize all the time.
if you want to say that, but I don't think Chappelle is that guy.
He may not be that guy, but
he's not that guy, and he feels like other comedians shouldn't be.
I don't understand that. Why can't you? That's like saying, you know, women should never criticize another woman.
Well, because comedy is a very subjective thing. And so if some comedian goes out there and they, whether they bomb or they do well, that was their idea of what they wanted to present.
That's a little thin skin that you should accept. You know, people review, people,
sure.
Outside
of comedy, I think Chappelle accepts that people are going to, they're going to be reviews.
I just
doesn't want it coming from comedians.
I hear you. I disagree with him because I think if you're that thin skinned that you can't have a critique from somebody within your own profession. I mean, I don't get it. I don't know why you circled the wagon.
I didn't get that directly from Dave. But that's what I've gathered from the conversation.
Well, at least let us argue a little bit.
Hi, Pauline Knight, Suffolk, Virginia. Yeah, I'm not buying it that Dave Chappelle actually is asking for an apology. He could, but they're both comedians. I mean, they both say jokes that are out of line and out of context. And yeah, they should be supportive of each other, but they do also tear each other down. And it's also comedy. So let's keep it comedy, right? I don't see a reason for an apology, but I'm not even sure that Dave is really asking for an apology. So that's where I am. I'm stuck on that right there.
I'm kind of with you on this.
You think that maybe Gerard is thinking that Dave wanted an apology, but that's not really what
the only reason I'm saying it is, is just the comments don't seem to warrant a public apology. It just feels too big for what was said. Anyway, we're going to move on.
All right, so moving on to
something we can agree on.
Gypsy Rose. Can we?
Maybe.
Maybe we don't. Gypsy Rose Blanchard, we told you, of course, she is split from her husband, Ryan, and has now been spending a lot of time with her ex-fiancé, Ken Urker. They were down in New Orleans for several days together, and a lot of people have thought, all right, she's moved on. Now this is her new boyfriend. They say that is not the case. And in fact, they addressed it all.
This is hysterical. This video.
They went live on TikTok.
Is so funny.
And it was sort of like Ken interviewing Gypsy, but here they
this
both are explaining
so funny
their status.
She's not pregnant for everybody who keeps asking.
No, I'm on birth control.
She's not pregnant.
Like, what the hell?
And we have not had any intimacy. We're just hanging out as friends. That's all it is.
He broke up with his girlfriend.
It's a mutual separation, but yes.
Apparently someone had reported to my PO that Ken is a felon. He doesn't have a criminal record, never been in prison.
Nope.
He's not a felon.
Well, only one is.
Reported to her PO because obviously she's not allowed to, it's part of her parole, can't be hanging around with felons. So someone tried to drop a dime on her, but not the case.
That's hysterical.
Yeah. So are the fans going to buy that they're not intimate, as they put it?
I think they are just hanging out. But here's the thing. Everything's always a little dicey when you're hanging out with somebody that you were once romantic with. It's hard to maintain only a friendship. And you guys, there's already some photos that have surfaced of them holding hands yesterday at
friends
a Dollar Tree.
Hands. Friends hold hands.
I don't think friends hold hands. Unless it's like you're holding hands of like a child, you know, to help them cross the street or an older lady. But
I'm with Neff on this. Yeah, I think it's more than just, we're buddies.
All right, so we just found out last week that Abby Hensel got married. Abby Hensel is one half of the conjoined twins, famous conjoined twins, Abby and Brittany Hensel. And she married a Army vet guy named Josh Bowling. And what's interesting, we actually got a hold of their marriage license. And you know, when you get married, you have the two people who are getting married, you have the officiant.
Right.
You have a witness.
Right.
For some reason, Brittany, who obviously was there, is not listed as the witness.
It is interesting because obviously she, I would imagine, witnessed the ceremony. Instead on there, they have the girl's sister, Morgan, and Cosmonaut, which I would imagine is a pet.
I would hope so. Well,
you can't have a pet as a witness.
Well, then who, Harvey witness? Is Cosmonaut?
It might be an actual Cosmonaut.
Get out of here. It's not an actual Cosmonaut.
No, but I actually have a theory about this. At first I was thinking, what the hell? But I actually have a theory about this, that maybe there's something in the law or in medicine where they're not considered separate people for the purpose of being a witness because they're conjoined. I'm just
Right. I mean, this was, the wedding was in Minnesota, right, Devin?
By the way, if you're going to ask me what Minnesota law is with respect
to
joint
twins, I was totally going to ask you. Yes.
I'm going to plead ignorance. I mean, give me another explanation.
We don't have an answer because you don't know Minnesota law. If you knew Minnesota law, obviously you can't practice in Minnesota.
Hold on. Minnesota law, okay, it says conjoined twins cannot be a witness.
As if you could ever search that quickly for anything.
Hi, Harvey. Hi, Charles. This is Christy from Charlotte. I have a law degree too, and this is kind of a mind bender for me because I'm thinking, okay, how does polygamy come into this? I don't even know. Like, isn't it better to have a witness be the other head rather than a pet that is
no,
chattel?
No, but are you buying my point that it can't be Brittany because in a sense they're the same person?
But I think in every other sense they're separate people, right?
I get it.
They each have driver's
license. No, I get it. But I'm trying to figure it out because it would be so easy to put Brittany down. I think that's why they didn't.
I'm with Devin. The bigger question is who is Cosmonaut?
Cosmonaut. I'm telling you. Oh.
No.
I can give you the first Russian cosmonaut, Yuri Gagarin.
Yuri Gagarin.
Oh, I got Gagarin. Okay.
All right. Let's move on to your favorite time of the week. Tim is here with his rejects.
What's going on? All right, so
did you know Yuri Gagarin was the first astronaut?
I had zero clue.
Cosmonaut.
See? Well, fair.
All right, so if you're a professional skydiver.
I think we threw him off. Sorry, Tim.
Yeah, I'm all flustered. If you're a professional skydiver, at a point you get bored just jumping out of an airplane. So what you need to do is you need to try different activities while jumping out of the airplane. This skydiver jumps out of the plane and is doing a drawing of the partner while
doing a portrait while
So as they're
going down, the ripcord.
Right.
And you're like, oh, it's great.
Yeah, so it actually turned somewhat decent for being in the air. I mean,
you know who that looks like? Yuri Gagarin.
There you go. All right. So
I just messed him up royally.
Totally thought. Stop with the Yuri Gagarin. All right, go on, Tim.
All right, so if you have a boat, you need to dock it in the marina or the, somewhere where you need to anchor it or throw a rope down. It's usually a two-person job. So this person doesn't have two people, so they are using their dog as the other person to take the line and kind of hook the boat up. So it
That's a first mate who got bite.
Right. So thought that was pretty neat. If you don't have another person, have
even
a dog.
Though the boat's called the kitty cat.
Yeah, kitty cat with a dog on it. So.
Wow.
Okay.
All right.
What's your last one?
All right. So, if you're a mechanic and you need to put a car on a lift, just make sure it's 100% stable
you're gonna have a hard time explaining that one. Oh. He's just saying, I quit. I'm just walking out.
One little bump and it goes right off the lift there and quite the damage on a pretty nice car there. So, yeah, not good.
What is that? Is that
it looks like a Corvette.
Yeah, it looks like a Corvette.
Yeah. Corvette.
So. Yeesh. Oh man. Yeah.
Wow.
Tim, what are the magic words for the day?
See you later.
No, Yuri Gagarin.
Yuri Gagarin. Gagarin.
Oh, he got no applause because he messed up.
Well, WrestleMania about to go down in Philly this weekend, and some of the wrestlers are in New York doing media. Chelsea Green, one of the WWE superstars who was doing that, and she had a little incident at the Plaza. She was there, and so she got kicked out because they thought she was working and not as a wrestler.
They thought she was a hooker.
They did think she was a pro, not a pro wrestler.
I know I look so cute, but I just want you to know that the Fairmont Plaza just kicked me out for looking like an escort. So that's what's happening right now at 6:30 p.m. on a Tuesday. She gets kicked out of the Fairmont Plaza.
Okay, I just gotta love this.
I do love this. I just want to let her look. Maybe she's not from New York and just be like, the Tuesday doesn't matter, Chelsea. The Tuesday. I get why to you you're like on a Tuesday.
Yeah, but, really.
Yes.
There are no days off.
Some professions you don't get a day off.
I actually talked to Chelsea about this, and she did say I was a bit embarrassed and shocked about the way this went down because, yeah, she's using a lot of humor here in the videos and on social media, but she was very upset with how the security guards yelled at her and made all these assumptions
they
just based on
her?
What she was wearing. Yes, if you read our story on the website, we broke it all down. She was actually berated, she said. She said that she was really upset about how, you know, they said, we know what you're trying to do here. You better get out of here. They chased her down.
Wow. Really?
They stood by her until she left.
Are you serious?
Yeah. And she's waiting for an apology from the hotel.
They should apologize.
Hey, Tony here from Brockton, Massachusetts. The Chelsea Green story. How quickly is you going to see that on SNL? Maybe this weekend. It's entertainment all around.
I think they should give her a roaring applause when
in Philly
when WrestleMania goes down.
I think she was probably going to get that anyway.
But especially now.
Yeah. Well, when last we saw LSU Tigers star Angel Reese, she was pretty upset after the loss to Iowa. But I think things brightened up for her yesterday on campus because Travis Scott stopped by just as she was making the announcement that she's going pro.
Look at that crowd. Whoa, look at that crowd.
Hey, we going to the
Going to the league. That's right.
What?
WNBA.
Does Travis have a connection?
I think he was there performing. He's on campus. He had a little performance.
The one word that...
By the way, he's in LA today, so...
He's at USC, right?
He's going to be USC, I believe.
The one word that is so overused is transformative, because a lot of things aren't.
Mm-hmm.
This is the moment that... a transformative moment for women's sports. This is the moment. It's really exciting to see, I got to say. We'll see you tomorrow.